From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Well, we're back for another edition of the podcast, Dale Carter's America. And unlike a normal podcast broadcast, this one will be audio only, which will show you how important Kurt Wheeler is to what it is we do, because he does all the stuff behind the scenes. So today it's audio only, and we have a special guest with us today, the lovely Tracy Moss.
Hi.
We're glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back.
You bet. Because you work cheap.
I do. I shouldn't say that, but I do work very cheap.
Well, you know, usually we talk about all the ways that you can get Dale Carter's America and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. We talk about YouTube and Rumble being the video versions. There will be no video version of this. So, you know, one of these days when I really didn't care what I'm wearing today, yet they're missing out on seeing the lovely Tracy.
I don't know about that. It is Monday morning.
Yeah. So help us spread the word about this crazy world that we're living in. Tracy's sitting in today, and of course, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. And I thought where we might start is with Tracy's world. But before, because you see a lot from your desk here at the radio station.
I see way too much.
Yeah. Before we get started, though, we thank our sponsors, and those include Bob Watson, Blue Springs' local State Farm agent for 5 decades. In fact, he's celebrating his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. And he's going to have a big party right there on Main Street in Blue Springs on May 1st, 7th and Main, right there at his office. Going to have a food truck out there. Just stop by and say hi to Bob. And if you haven't let him give you a quote yet, and bundling your insurance, bundling home and car insurance can save you big bucks, call him today at 816-229-7878. 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. He'll insure your boat. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. And don't forget, the big party is coming up on May 1st. All right, so today is Earth Day. You knew that, right?
I did, yeah. Used to be a big deal, but not really.
Are you celebrating Earth Day?
I wore green in my shirt. That's about it. I did plant some flowers over the weekend, so yeah. There you go.
Does it make you feel better about yourself?
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, there are people out there, and I saw that Tesla basically reduced the cost of their vehicle. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yeah, because demand is like cratering. Nobody wants these things. Now, I'm not saying don't get an electric car. If you want an electric car and you think they're fun to drive and you're not planning on driving cross country, because that will be a big adventure, get one. They're fun. But just know that when you plug in, you're plugging into a coal-fired grid.
Exactly.
So don't walk around and say, I'm saving the planet because I'm driving an EV.
But where does electricity come from?
Yeah, exactly. Think about that for a second.
Well, we have a conversation at our with some friends. They were planning road trips. They both have Teslas, and they were talking about where their stopping points were.
Yeah.
Because you can only go 200 miles before you have to stop and recharge. So they were like, oh, well, we stopped at this little town, but they have to plan this out. You just can't drive straight to a place.
No.
It's crazy.
They're going to get that fixed. If you just give Joe Biden one more term, they're going to get more charging stations out there. And unlike, you know, when you fill up your gas tank now, you're going to be there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to probably install benches at Quick Trip, maybe a little place you can take a nap, because it's going to take like 20, 25 minutes to charge your vehicle.
Well, you know, people sleep in their vehicles up there at the charging station at the grocery store by the station.
I have. You know, I see them charging when I get here at 3, but I don't want to get close.
Yeah. So they'll plug it in and they'll just take a little siesta and then hit the road.
Yeah. You know, before we get to your rants, I was thinking about this because there's a trans law that was overturned in West Virginia. West Virginia came forward and said, hey, if you're a biological boy or man, you can't play on the girls/women's team. And that's been overturned in court. And we're going to go back and forth and back and forth on this. Last week on the podcast, we mentioned that the Kansas City-based NAIA, which represents smaller colleges,
right.
They have a firm rule in place now. If you're a biological man, that's on your birth certificate, you can't play on the women's team. So where does Tracy come down on all this?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous, because being a female, I know that I cannot do some of the things that a man can. Like, I grew up with a brother. Like, I tried to keep up with him, but I physically cannot do the things that he can do. So you're telling me that it's fair to have a male swimming next to you who has longer arms, more upper body strength, and is winning, but they identify as a female, so they're a female. I think it's ridiculous.
So Caitlin Clark just set the record for scoring in basketball for men and women.
Right.
Can you imagine a scenario where, you know, a few guys who couldn't make it on the men's team said, well, we can go another route. And I know there are people out there that are going to tell me that's cynical, that this is really people who are trapped in a body that they weren't born into, and this is just a way to help them participate. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't care what you do if you're an adult. What I don't like are, you know, they've got these, you know, trans care things for minor children.
Right.
Which, you know, is changing them in permanent ways before they're 18. I got a problem with that. But if you're over 18 and, you know, you're a biological male on your birth certificate and you say, hey, I think I'm going to be a woman, go with God. You know, if that's you, go with that. But you can't then turn around and say, I'm going to compete on the women's team.
No. They need to make a third party, especially for like the NCAA. Make a third division, male, female, and other.
Well, they got intramurals, right? Well, yeah. That's boys and girls playing together. We don't really care about that.
Yeah.
So, interesting. You got some other things that you and I talk quite a bit, and this may be a little old news here because the votes already happened. But, you know, the Royals / Chiefs vote went down in Jackson County. Where are you at with all that now?
Well, I am sick and tired of seeing my friends on Facebook who doesn't even live in Jackson County. And they're still commenting. They're making comments about how because of us, we've lost the Royals and it's all our fault. And look at where they're going to go. They're going to go to Nashville. They're going to go to Utah. But they're not in Jackson County. They're not paying these taxes. And I don't know about you, but our personal property valuation went up 80% last year.
Yeah, they all went up quite a bit. What a bad time to put that on the ballot.
Right.
With everybody having that taste in their mouth. And it went down. Now, they're still playing at Kauffman Stadium. They've got a lease that's going to go through 2031. Who knows what happens then? I hear Quentin Lucas is getting involved.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Glad for that.
And they may end up somewhere else. They may end up in North Kansas City.
Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. And I wonder if there are a lot of people who don't, because over the weekend, and the Royals they've gotten off to a great start.
Yeah, they're doing good.
Not very big crowds at the K.
I'm not going to go. Are you?
Yeah, you know, it's expensive.
Right.
You know, even though you and I both live in Jackson County, they don't give us a break anything. Like
$20 parking.
Yeah. Maybe it should be 10 for a Jackson County resident. You know, maybe tickets should be less. Maybe we should get like concessions at a discounted rate. We don't get anything like that.
Nope.
No.
You have to pay the full price.
We just get the bill for the 3/8 cents tax. Yeah. Well, to be continued on all that.
Be interesting to see what they do. I mean, I think we could come to the table and we could come to an agreement. And definitely the Chiefs. I think if you put a tax back on for the Chiefs today, I'll sign off on it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they've put a product out there that we can approve. But if you have a losing team over and over and over again, and then you want a $3 billion stadium, I don't think so.
Yeah. And, you know, that tax that's on there now, I mean, you may remember this. Back then, the stadiums were kind of falling apart.
Right.
And they came to us with a plan. And they said, give us $500 million and we'll improve Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium.
Right.
And they had a great plan for doing that. Now it's like, well, we want you to extend the tax for 40 years. We're moving the stadium downtown, whether you like it or not, and just deal with it. And if you don't, well, the Chiefs are going to move.
It's a billionaire tantrum.
Yeah, it's a big tantrum that's been thrown. And I told Kurt this, and I've said it on the podcast, I don't think that we've seen the end of all this.
No.
This was the beginning, and it's not the end of the world as we know it, despite what some of our friends are saying on Facebook.
Well, and they threw everything together too fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was brought up and put on the ballot, and then the plans kept changing. They wouldn't let you see the bottom line. I'm not buying a car unless I see how much it's going to cost me. So I felt like that about the stadium. Show me the tax, everything broken down of how much it's going to cost us, and we'll sign off on if it's a good deal.
If it's a good deal. See, that's the key thing there. I could sell you a Tesla sale price right now. Right?
I'm good.
Yeah, you're fine on that? Okay, fine.
I know a Tesla salesman. No, thanks.
All right. Royal Roofing and Solar is proud to be a sponsor of our podcast here, Austin Watterson's company. Mike Dale is their solar guy, and he can show you how when you get your new roof, you can put solar on it for the price of the roof. I mean, they've got great financing options. Solarbyroyal.com is the way to find that. royalcontractingkc.com if you just need a regular old roof. And if you want to call them, 816-540-7057. They've been out looking at a lot of roofs because we've had some hail damage. It's spring. You're going to get some storm damage. Maybe it's time to get that new roof. Royal Roofing and Solar, they did the roof at my house, and Austin and his team are ready to do the roof at your house. Plus, they're hiring all the time.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working really hard.
You bet. And Medicare Simplified KC, 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in this country. 10,000.
Crazy.
Where are your parents and all that? They're over 65.
Yeah, they're in their 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting closer.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be 61 in September, and, 65 is going to be here before you know it. If you're approaching 65, contact my good friends Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker. They're at Medicare Simplified KC. They can make Medicare understandable and simple for you. This is from the government, so it's not understandable or simple.
Right.
Yeah, and there are gaps in it. The past 10 years, they've helped thousands of folks just like you understand Medicare and how it applied to their circumstances. Medicare, definitely not a one-size-fits-all proposition. You got options and choices to make. Kirk and Lori will help you navigate the Medicare maze. Call them and get that conversation started. 816-701-6661. 816-701-6661. On the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They're on Nolan Road in Independence, but if you can't come to them, they'll come to you. So, good folks there at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. 194 days until decision 2024. Not that I'm counting, Tracy.
Oh. Yeah.
Strangest election.
It's going to be weird.
In my lifetime. So, yeah. I know you're younger than me, so it's in your lifetime, too.
I don't even know what... I don't even think there's really a great option at this point.
There's not.
No.
And, you know, I told Kirk, you know, early on in this, I wanted somebody other than Donald Trump to be the nominee. It didn't work out that way.
No.
And I told him that I would support the nominee because when you take away the clown car show.
Right.
And you just look at issues versus issues, it's a no-brainer to vote for Donald Trump. The Democrats don't want you to see it that way. And the White House had to clean up another Biden gaffe. Maybe you heard about this. He was giving a speech about veterans, and he told this story about his Uncle Bozy.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you heard about this?
No, I have
Uncle
not.
Uncle Bozy. See, his plane went down in World War II.
Okay.
On New Guinea.
Oh,
and
okay.
They never found the body. And there's a lot of cannibals on New Guinea. That's all I'm going to say there.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
The White House and the Defense Department had to clean this up because the uncle's plane went down at sea during World War II.
Oh, and that's a little different than at land.
He was not eaten by cannibals. So, we got a lot of traction on this. I put up one of those Mark Safe things on the podcast page. Mark Safe from being eaten by a cannibal.
Oh, my gosh.
At least so far. And, you know, what I tell people is, if you want to vote for Joe... And again, if you look at the issues, I think on the issues, the Republicans win hands down.
Right.
We talk about issues a lot on the podcast. But if you're going to vote for Joe, realistically, you're voting for Kamala Harris.
Yes, definitely. And she scares me. Like, I don't know. There's just, you don't really know that much about her. She's kind of laid low. But I feel like if she gets in the White House, we are doomed.
I mean, every time I see Joe, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, the version you see of him today is as good as it's going to get.
Right. He's only going downhill fast.
He's declining fast. And I just think, that, you know, realistically, if we live in Realville on the podcast, there is no way he makes it another 4.5 years.
I'm shocked he made it this long.
Yeah. Yeah. Yet the left is out there doing everything they can to give Biden an unfair advantage.
Of course they are.
Trump has to report to court daily over a charge. I want you to think about this charge. Okay, this whole thing with the, and they're trying to make it as spectacular as possible.
Yeah.
You know, former porn star, blah, blah, blah. But when you boil it down, it's a non-disclosure agreement. We have those in business all the time. I've signed NDAs.
Have you? Yeah.
Okay. So he had her sign an NDA. Now, where the paperwork went, who knew? But if he misfiled the paperwork or did that inappropriately, that would be a misdemeanor in New York. Okay.
Right.
And the statute of limitations long gone on it.
Right. Of course it is.
So why is he in court every day? Because Alvin Bragg found a loophole to bootstrap it to a federal crime that the Justice Department said, we don't want anything to do with this. But Alvin does. Because what it means is, instead of being out campaigning every day, Donald Trump is sitting in a courtroom in a district that is 10-1 Democrat.
Right.
There's no way he gets a fair trial there. Overseen by a judge who donated to Joe Biden.
How is that not a conflict?
Beats me, right?
Right.
And the latest thing I've heard on this is, if the jury is hung after an 8-week trial, think about how close that is to Election Day, Bragg will likely bring the charges again.
Of course they will.
Start over. He probably wants a hung jury,
yeah.
Right? So we can start the whole process over.
Well, they're not going to get a fair trial.
Yeah.
There's no way.
So would any of this be happening right now to Donald Trump if he were not running for president?
No. They've had this planned. They knew when they needed to hit it.
And if somehow Biden wins this election,
Oof. All
this goes away.
Right.
It'll never come up again. And then how much do they hate this guy? They must hate this guy with every fiber of their being. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. Representative Benny Thompson, he was the congressman who led the January 6th committee. He's introduced a bill in Congress. It won't go anywhere because the Republicans still hold a small majority. But he's introduced a bill in Congress to remove Secret Service protection if Trump is convicted.
What?
So he would go to jail and have no Secret Service protection.
How? That's, I have no words. Well, let's take away Joe's protection because they're holding him up literally.
Yeah. When he falls down, they have to get him right back up again. So, I mean, I do have a thought about this. And Dana Perino made this point on The Five, and I completely agree with her. I think Trump at this point should go ahead and name his VP.
Yes.
So that he or she, probably she.
I think it should be a she.
Could be the campaigning surrogate.
Yeah.
To go to all these places and carry the message. And because Trump can't run again, right, this 4 years would be his limitation.
Right.
Maybe it's somebody he's going to anoint as his successor. Somebody who has great conservative values, who can sell the message.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. Democrats always come after Republicans.
Of course.
Republicans are always Hitler,
right.
You know, worse than Hitler. And they say that about Mitt Romney. When Mitt Romney ran against Obama, he's Hitler, you know. And Joe Biden says, they're going to put you all back in chains. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, and now they love Mitt Romney.
Right.
Now he's an honorary Democrat.
Right.
But, you know, you run against a Democrat, you're Hitler or worse than Hitler. And Trump is on an island by himself. Maybe he's worse than Osama bin Laden and Hitler if they had a baby. I don't know. But I just think that, you know, Trump is going to be, he's going to like bodegas around New York, and he's doing some good stuff that he can
do
within New York. But I just think he needs to name his VP and get her out there on the road.
Who do you think he should? Do you have any ideas?
I like Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
I like Sarah Sanders, governor of Arkansas.
Yeah, I think she'd be a great one.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of great choices out there.
But he needs somebody. That's what the Republican Party in the years past, they haven't picked that strong vice president. You need somebody that can step in. I mean, I liked Cheney, but... But, you know...
Cheney kind of picked himself.
Yeah. But, you know, like, going back years when they picked Palin to run against... she wasn't strong enough.
Right.
They need that strong female lead that could take over and run the country.
Gosh, maybe the last really good vice president was George H.W. Bush, and he was like the runner-up to Ronald Reagan in 1980, and they didn't agree on things.
Right.
And Reagan picked him anyway, and he would go on to be a pretty good president.
I thought he was great,
in his own right. So we agree on that. Let's get the VP named and get that person out there campaigning. Meanwhile, the Senate dismissed the Mayorkas impeachment. They did not have a trial. First time in American history that an impeachment happened in the House of a sitting cabinet member and or president, and there was no trial. As ridiculous as we might have thought the Trump impeachments were, they had a trial.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to have a trial because they didn't want all this out there.
Right.
They could still vote, you know, not guilty, which they would have done because they have a majority in the Senate, but they didn't want the House managers to have the floor to talk about everything that's gone wrong on the border.
Well, yeah, they don't want any of that to come out.
And then make Democrat senators who are on the hot seat up for re-election have to vote not guilty for Mayorkas, so they dismissed it. First time in American history. So what happens, let me draw you a scenario. Donald Trump wins.
Right.
there's a small Democrat majority in the House and a small Republican majority in the Senate. So you know what the Democrats will do on day one?
Right.
They'll impeach him.
Of course.
Yeah. And then they'll, you know, they'll make a big show of walking the impeachment articles over to the Senate. Ugh. And the Republicans will have a small majority in this scenario.
Right.
And they vote to dismiss it. Because you dismiss Mayorkas, you've set a new precedent.
Yeah,
we don't have to have a trial. Let's just dismiss and move on. Can you imagine the screams coming from MSNBC?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Their hair will be on fire. No question about it. So, was it a good impeachment or not? Jonathan Turley, do you ever watch him on Fox News Channel?
I don't. Not that
much. He's a Supreme Court guru, right, if you will. He's a big-time attorney. He's a teacher and all that. And he's a Democrat. And this is why I like Fox News Channel. Because unlike MSNBC and CNN, they're not jamming an agenda through. They bring people in who have, you know, different views. And Jonathan Turley is a Democrat. And so I listen very carefully to what he says. And he's a big stand-up guy for the Constitution. And he thought it was a bad impeachment. For a lot of different reasons, and he may well be right. But when we talk about what impeachment is, think about this. Impeachment is anything a majority of the House thinks is an impeachment, and sometimes they are political. High crimes and misdemeanors, it's very vague in the Constitution. Yeah. I mean, people on our side thought it was ridiculous that Donald Trump was impeached over the phone call he made to the Ukrainian president. When he said, you know, there might be something funny going on here, would you look into this?
Right.
He didn't say, look into this or else.
Yeah.
Look into this or we won't give you any money.
Right.
Joe Biden did that.
Yeah.
Biden was over in the Ukraine and he even bragged about it. He said, I told that guy if he didn't fire that prosecutor, I'd withhold all that funding. And you know what? 6 hours later, he did it. You know, fired his ass. And that's Joe Biden bragging about something that is less than what got Trump impeached for.
Well, it's apples and oranges, don't you know?
So, you know, it's just mind-boggling, the things that happen here. So we'll just keep an eye on this and just watch for what might happen next time because the Democrats, once again, have set a precedent here, just like they did on federal judges. And boy, did they rue the day on that because they took away the filibuster on federal judges. And Republicans told them, you know, Mitch McConnell told them, if you do this, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Of course it will.
And it did when Trump got to nominate three very conservative justices to the Supreme Court, and they won on a majority vote. So what you do today, Democrats, I know you hate the Constitution and you want to rip it up to shreds and get rid of that precedent and get rid of that precedent. What you don't see is three steps down the road when the Republicans have a majority and they use what you did against you.
Right.
So to be continued there. The NPR whistleblower, Uri Berliner. Maybe it's Uri Berliner. He's the one who revealed that the 100% liberal staff there got the three biggest stories of the last decade wrong and then buried them like cat turds when it was discovered that they were wrong. He was suspended without pay.
Oh, imagine that.
These are the people that say, believe the whistleblower.
Yeah.
You must believe the whistleblower. Unless he blows the whistle on you. Well, he quit after he was suspended without pay. And the head of NPR says, the First Amendment is a challenge to us.
What?
And reverence for the truth is a distraction. Now, your tax dollars support that.
Right.
And my tax dollars support that. We need to put an end to that.
Yeah. Let's put them on an equal footing with the rest of the radio stations and have them foot the bill themselves.
And let them compete, you know, in the arena of ideas. And if they can't compete, well, you know, there's dollars out there for that particular view. MSNBC somehow is still on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but they are. CNN is still on the air. So maybe they can compete in the pantheon of ideas. I got no problem with that because to me, the First Amendment is not a challenge.
No.
It is what it is. And the truth is something that we look for on this podcast. And when I'm wrong, and I'm wrong occasionally, which you'll point out to me, my wife certainly will point out to me, I cop to it. It's like I was wrong.
Well, our founding fathers put these laws in effect and these amendments for a reason. I mean, they were very smart people.
Yeah.
And if we don't, it's kind of like you have rules. If you start bending the rules, where's the bend? Eventually, you're going to break.
Right.
So you have to keep your laws and your rules straight.
Well, you know, I don't support Joe Biden, not because I don't like him, because I think he's an evil man, because I don't think any of that. I think he's an old man. I think he's slipping. He's been slipping for a long time. In fact, you know, we've got a song parody that we play on my show on KFKF called Biden's Brain. And that came out when he was running for re-election as vice president with Obama. And we put in all the gaffes that he had up until then, including, they're going to put you all back in chains, which I just can't imagine. Can you imagine a Republican saying that?
Oh, they'd be hung.
That'd be the end of their life. Yeah. But Biden says that he's a Democrat, and that's fine. I disagree with him on policy, and I could name off every policy I disagree. What the Democrats are doing is saying, don't vote for Trump. It's the end of democracy as we know it.
Whatever.
He's going to be a dictator. And Hillary Clinton, who, why anybody pays any attention to her anymore, I don't know. She claims that Donald Trump has a kill list. And he wants to rule like Putin or Kim Jong-un. She was on the Defending Democracy podcast with Mark Elias. Now, we at the Dale Carter's America podcast, we tried to get, you know, some opposing views on this. We tried to book people like Vince Foster and Jeffrey Epstein, but... they're both dead.
They're out of commission,
They're both dead. They both committed suicide.
Could they have been on Hillary's kill list?
Well, and this gets back to progression. I know what I'm thinking here. This may be an edit.
I would say I cannot read your mind.
Projection. Yeah, projection. And I'm not going to put an edit in there because sometimes you make mistakes on a podcast you just let it fly. And Kurt told me, you know, if you really get a nasty edit in there, tell me and I'll fix it. Otherwise, I'm not listening to the whole thing.
Thank you, Kurt.
Kurt's on vacation, so that's where he's at. But projection is when I've done something, but I'm going to blame you for it. I'm going to say you did it, right? That's projection. And that's exactly what Hillary Clinton is doing there. Because there have been story after story, and I brought up Vince Foster and Jeffrey Epstein, but there's a longer list of people who were in their orbit who died mysteriously.
Or all the people that supported them got all these great positions whenever Bill became president.
Well, that happens all the time. Yeah. That's going to happen on either side. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about that. But what I want to know is, name the names. Yeah. Where are the weird deaths that have happened in Donald Trump's orbit? You can't, because I don't think they exist. And again, get back to policy. What matters to you? Does the border matter?
Yes.
I think it does. Inflation. You know, they keep selling this economy as the greatest economy in the history of the world. I mean,
have you
gone
to the grocery store?
I go to Hy-Vee and I look at that receipt and I'm like, what the hell?
Well, like you go in and you buy two items and it's $35. You're like, what? We used to be able to feed the entire family for a couple days for $35.
Never mind gas prices, you know. And the interesting thing about gas prices is they come down like a penny a day. Have you noticed that? We're in a penny a day drop
now. And then
now
it'll go up about 25 cents.
40 was the last time. Yeah. I drove by that convenience store in Blue Springs. I went, what the hell?
Yeah, I had just filled up earlier. And then I came home and I saw that. I was like, oh.
Yeah. So think about the issues. And I know some people listen to the podcast who don't agree with us. A lot of them won't come on. They like to be keyboard warriors.
Of course they are.
And it's like, you know, Trump's evil, blah, 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 blah. And I'll respond to them point by point. Where do you disagree with him on policy? Because if you look at Trump, Trump was not a great conservative president.
Yeah.
Kind of a moderate, really.
Yeah.
Where do you disagree with him on policy? I know you don't like him.
Sometimes you have to take that away from, take the personal away and see what he did for our country.
You're not going to play a round of golf with him. You're not going to sit down and have a beer with him.
Right.
But where do you disagree with him on policy? And if we can have that discussion, I'll have that discussion all day long. But we are 194 days out until decision 2024. All right.
Buckle in.
Buckle, yes. It's definitely going to be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
And, you know, we'll get more Joey B clips when Kurt gets back from vacation. All right. Midwest GI. All right. You know about what Midwest GI Health is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Mark Terramina, Midwest GI Health and Wellness. He's the colonoscopy guy.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you had yours. That was fun.
Yeah. 45, Tracy, is the new 50.
Guess I need to give him a call, don't
45 is the new 50. get screened for colon cancer because it could save your life. Now, without telling me how old you are you close?
Definitely.
Okay.
Right on the dot.
Get with Dr. Terramina because they take care of it all at their place in Lee's Summit. They can do the upper GI if you need that as well. Colon cancer screening is the most effective way you can save your life from something that will kill you.
Right.
Because when they do the colonoscopy, I know the prep's not a lot of fun, but you know, you get it, you take your little nap, you wake up, and Dr. Terramina says, you know, we got some polyps, no big deal, we'll send them off, blah, 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 blah. Or you're clean as a whistle, come back in 10 years.
Yeah.
What's bad is if you get into your 50s and you've let it fester and then it turns into full-blown colon cancer,
right,
then you're screwed. So don't be screwed. 45 is the new 50. Midwest GI Health, MidwestGIHealth.com is where you'll find them on the web. Dr. Terramina's office is in Lee's Summit. You can call him at 816-836-2200, 816-836-2200. He is recovering from a kidney transplant.
Oh, wow.
Got a match from his wife.
From his wife?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I reached out to him before we were recording the podcast, and he goes, yeah, hopefully her liberal leanings won't sway me the other way. So we will know if Stephanie's liberal leanings from her kidney that got into Dr. Mark Terramina, if he doesn't renew his sponsorship.
Well, you know, I donated bone marrow to my brother, and it actually changed his blood type. So... you never know.
Interesting.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, after you've had the whole colon cleanse thing from doing the colonoscopy, then you go celebrate the success at
Funhouse Pizza.
Thank you. See, you're tracking right along with me there. Funhouse Pizza's in 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, on 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Jim Dingman is ready with a huge pizza with toppings stacked all the way up to there. They have the best pizza.
It's so good.
Yeah. And the drinks are really cold. The atmosphere is fun. So if you've got like a birthday party, an anniversary, something else you're celebrating, we're getting into Little League season.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'm not into that anymore because I was a Little League coach, you know, when my kid was playing, if they've already had their team meetings or not. But you like to have a team meeting with food.
Yeah. Well, there's soccer season's going on right now, too. So
soccer.
I know.
Soccer? Really?
Every little kid, it seems to play soccer. I don't get it.
If you got a soccer team, we're not going to hold it against you. Go have your celebration at Funhouse Pizza. They've got rides. It's a fun environment. And again, the food is just amazing. 50 Highway Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Okay. The attack on Israel, the counterattack, and everything that's going on there, and how it bleeds into this country. Now, Iran launched. Now, Israel probably had the first shot, right? They sent a missile into, I think it was Lebanon, and they took out an Israeli general.
Right.
Now, to back the train up even further, Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th.
Of course. Yeah.
Hamas is funded by.
I wonder who.
Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who got the money when Joe Biden basically tore up what Donald Trump did.
Yeah.
This gets back to policy. You know, Obama had the Iran agreement, which was not slowing them down.
Yeah.
They were still going to do what they were going to do. And Trump tore that up and said, we're going to put sanctions in place.
Right.
And then a Democrat comes in and he tears that up. And now they've got all this money to burn.
Yeah.
And he
all
says,
of
but
our
it's,
money.
It's, no, it's their money.
Yeah.
We're unfreezing their money.
Yeah.
But they, you know, we said, Biden's people said, it's going to be for humanitarian aid.
Of course.
The Iranian president came out and said, you know what? It's our money. We'll do with it what we want. And you know what they did? They gave it to Hamas. And Hamas attacked Israel.
Yeah.
So it's on like Donkey Kong. You don't attack Israel, right? So Israel, first, they take out that general.
Yeah.
Right? And then you saw the attack, the missiles and the drones that Iran sent over to Israel.
Yeah.
And it had no effect because of Iron Dome, which we gave Israel, and then our own ships were shooting stuff down there. So it had no effect. And you knew Israel was not going to sit on their hands.
No.
They
no
were
going to
do something back. And they did a much smaller strike, but they aimed it right at the, I think it's Isfahan, wherever their nuclear site is in Iran. They bombed the shit out of it.
Right.
Which is a message to the Iranians. We know where you're doing nuclear testing,
and we know what's going on.
We can hit it anytime we want.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Where are you at on this whole? Because Kurt, he has a different view than I do. I think Israel is our ally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're the country that first acknowledged them in 1948. and we've been with them. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. They are our staunch ally, and I think we should be behind them 100%. Kurt's an isolationist, I think. Okay. He doesn't want to do any of this stuff. He doesn't want to give any money to Ukraine. He doesn't want to give any money to Israel. Let them all fight their own fight. Yeah. Where are you at in all this?
Well, I mean, I feel as a Christian that for Israel, that we should defend Israel. And I don't know, I lean that way, that we should help out as much as we can.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So yet in this country, on college campuses, yeah, like Columbia University in New York, the chance of death to America can be heard on college campuses in the United States.
I can't even imagine, like, that they're allowing that.
Well, First Amendment.
Well, I know that, but there has to come a line where you're bullying the Jewish students there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bully. I mean, isn't that the Democrats are all about anti-bullying?
Right.
Well, you're bullying the Jewish students there because they're not even allowed to, they're scared to leave their houses.
Well, the latest news we've got on this is Columbia University is having virtual classes.
Yeah.
It's such a mess on their campus, they don't even want students to go to class.
Yeah, they're not even allowed. Well, and they're, notice came out that they said that if you are Jewish roots, they've put it out there, do not leave your house. They're afraid of it. If you have to go out, get a security officer to escort you out of your house.
Yeah. So, you know, replaying all of this again, October 7th, Israel is attacked, you know, much like we were on 9/11,
yeah,
by a bunch of terrorists. They did horrible things to civilians. They took civilians
hostage. Yeah.
And, you know, the negotiations on that breaking down, because I think they've killed most of those hostages.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
They can't produce them. I think they probably killed them. So Israel goes on offense. It's like, we're done with all this.
Yeah.
You know, Netanyahu says, I'm done. We're going to take this out. We're going to take Hamas out once and for all. War is a bloody, messy sport.
Awful. Yeah.
It's terrible. Think about World War II. How many civilians the Allies killed in Germany and Japan? We dropped two nuclear weapons on Japan. War is a messy business. And, you know, these college students are so naive, is the only way you can put it. Of course, death to America, but pay off our student loan first.
Right. Well, we don't want to have student loans before we get started. We can't do that.
They blocked up the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
Yeah, I heard about that. And also O'Hare in Chicago.
Yeah.
How is that legal to block a public way?
It's not legal, but but they're doing it anyway. Yeah. And even liberal mayors like the mayor of New York are jumping on what's happening in Columbia University, because we just have to stop this stuff. I mean, First Amendment is one thing, but, you know, something that Carson Ross, the former mayor of Blue Springs, taught me a long time ago. My rights end where yours begin.
Okay.
I have a lot of rights that are in the Constitution.
Right.
But when I step on your rights, I'm out of bounds. And they're out of bounds at Columbia.
Definitely.
They're out of bounds on this whole transgender thing because you can be whatever you want to say that you are.
Yeah.
But when you say, let's say in the unlikely event that, number one, I was an athlete worth anything.
Right.
And the other unlikely event that I would say that I'm a woman. Which one's more unlikely? I think they're both pretty unlikely.
I think both of them.
Yeah. Okay. That's stepping on your rights as a female athlete if me, the man, says, I'm a girl now. I get to play on the girls' team. That's me stepping on your rights. Right. My rights end where yours begin.
Right.
So if you think about it that way, it might change a lot of things. Yeah. But, you know, there was a gathering in Chicago. An anti-war on Gaza thing. And when the Iranians launched all those missiles and it was announced at that meeting, they cheered.
Of course they cheered. Yeah.
They cheered. They wanted death and destruction in Israel. That is just absolutely wrong, my opinion. So, and if you disagree, we'd love to hear from you. That's what the podcast is all about. Okay. The House voted 316 to 94 to advance $95 billion in funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. It was a rare bipartisan move in the House. It was a coalition of Democrats and moderate Republicans.
Yeah.
The conservative wing, and you know, when the last speaker, Kevin McCarthy, when he was in, to get in, because it was such a train wreck, he had to put in a compromise that one member of the House can raise their hand and say, vacate the chair, and they have to have a vote. And that's still there.
Yeah.
And the very conservative wing of the Republican Party, they may well call for the chair again.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing there might be that Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, might be rescued by the Democrat Party.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Interesting bedfellows politics can make sometimes. And really, does it matter at all? The federal debt is now approaching $35 trillion. Our federal deficit, all right, the shortfall is $2 trillion. And that's growing.
Because we just have all this money in the world to just send everywhere.
Hey, you know what? As long as there's toner in the printer.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
I think we're going to be okay. Yeah. But we're adding $1 trillion to the debt every 100 days.
It's awful.
At some point, somebody's got to raise their hand and say, we can't keep doing this.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. We'll see. But right now, another $95 billion in monopoly money is headed out the door for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Well, it's not monopoly money when you need to buy a house. That is for sure. And if you are in the market, doesn't matter where you are in the life cycle. Maybe it's your first home. My oldest son in Indiana just bought a house.
Oh, wow.
And I'm excited about that. It's a starter home for them, right?
That's okay.
Me, I'm looking to downsize. I want to sell Casa del Carter at some point and downsize.
You're on the other side.
Yeah. Wherever you are in this life cycle, Michael Schroer can help you. He's a lifelong Kansas City resident. He's been in the game for 35 years. Not just residential sales, also commercial construction experience. So whether it's your first home, your forever home, land to build your dream home on, or somewhere in the middle, Michael, who asked to be on this podcast... I love
exciting.
It. You know, we've gotten so many sponsors who have come to me and said, my God, somebody is out there talking about things that really matter.
Yeah.
Not, that guy's awful. I hate that guy. Yeah. He's going to ruin America. He's going to, you know, he's going to be another Hitler. We're talking about issues that really matter to people. And Michael wanted to be a part of that. So we're honored to have him on the podcast. And if you're in the market, whether you're selling, buying, or building, Michael's the guy to talk to. 816-783-5800. He's on the web at michaelschroer.com. Now, Michael's easy.
I was going to say, we need to spell out his last name.
I can do it for you.
Yeah.
S-C-H-R-O-E-R. michaelschroer.com. He's a real estate professional with REMAX Heritage, and he's ready to help you find your next home. Okay, the latest on the illegals.
Hmm.
I mean... Democrats want to change the language to make everything seem, you know, so benign.
Daisy, yeah.
You know, it's like what for the transgenders, what do they say for the rights that they want to have for it's care, right?
Yeah.
It's affirming care for minors, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. I finally got there. Gender affirming care for minors. Well, the folks flooding our southern border, we can't call them illegals anymore because that has such a stigma to it, Tracy. They're migrants. Migrants migrate all over the world.
Have you ever been to the southern border?
I have not.
So we were driving back. This is 20
well,
years
I've been,
ago.
I say I have been to the southern on the San Diego side because I've been to Tijuana across that border.
But we were driving back from California at night, and I honestly thought... it was a river with the water rushing until I saw the Border Patrol zoom past us, turn down a little side street, and their headlights hit that. Those were people in white shirts jumping over the border. And that was just a random Tuesday. So
you can go back to Joe Biden in the debate when he was running in 2020, and he said, come on over.
Yeah, I know.
We want you to come. And then when he became president, first thing he did was rip up all the executive orders that Trump put in place, remain in Mexico, you know, things like that. And now they're coming in droves. And now all of a sudden, because what you'll get from Democrats is, well, we put up a bipartisan bill and you didn't support it.
I know. That's our favorite thing to say.
Here's what you say back to them. For 2 years, first 2 years of the Biden administration, you had the House and the Senate and you did nothing.
Exactly.
But now that it's the number one issue that voters care about.
Now they're like, oh, well, we're trying.
Well, we're trying. But Biden says, I don't think there's anything I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You could put in those executive orders that Trump put in place, the ones you tore up. So, yes, you can do something about it. But we know what the big city mayors, the blue cities, they're doing. The mayor of Chicago is trying to push through $70 million in funding for illegals in Chicago. $70 million in tax revenue from the city of Chicago to fund illegals. I mean, you and I don't even want to vote for taxes to so that the Royals owner right. can move his stadium downtown. We're not going to support taxes in our town
Here's
for
my
illegals.
Question. My question to the mayor of Chicago, are you going to require these illegals or migrants to become U.S. citizens and become taxpayers?
Well, that seems harsh, Tracy.
I know, but that's my thing. If you come over to a country, you should learn the language, you should become a tax or become a citizen and become a taxpayer.
Well, what about all those people who have done it the right way, and they're sitting there waiting in a queue to have their deal heard?
Right.
I mean, shouldn't they be heard from first before all these people coming across the border?
Yeah.
I mean, because the other thing that they'll throw at you is that you're a racist, number one,
right.
because that's play number one that they have, and you don't support any kind of immigration. You know, my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents were immigrants, blah, 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 blah. And you hear that all the time.
Yeah, so are mine. Yeah,
I support immigration. Yeah. Mine were too, but they did it the right way.
Right. They came over on the ship, boat, whatever you want to call it. Went through Ellis Island
right.
and became citizens.
So we do support.
Yeah, I do.
We support legal immigration done the right way, not millions flooding across the southern border. We have no idea who those people are.
Right.
Think about the terrorists who are slipping through. I mean, God help us. There's probably going to be a terrorist attack in this country.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be from somebody who came through the southern border that is a quote-unquote gotaway. And maybe they'll end up in Chicago. Who knows? The mayor of L.A. is calling for housing to be built for illegals.
What about their homeless? I mean,
makes you wonder, right?
Have you ever looked down the streets of L.A.? They had to clean the homeless out just to have... was it the Super Bowl?
We have a homeless problem in Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big homeless problem.
We have tent cities in places all throughout this town. And yet the mayor of Kansas City, the Honorable, the Pharaoh, Quentin Lucas I of Kansas City, he put out a deal. He says, I'm welcoming migrants with open arms.
Ugh.
You want to come here? Come here.
Stay at his house.
We've got work for you. Yeah. We'll put you to work. Now, to his point, we do have an employment problem in this town. How many businesses do you go into? It's like there's nobody there to help you.
Yeah.
So
nobody wants work.
We need help. We do need workers. The Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, reminds the mayor that it is a felony to knowingly transport illegals into Missouri.
Good.
Lucas counters with only illegals with proper paperwork would be allowed.
I think that's a contradiction. Illegal with proper paperwork.
Maybe they've got a work permit. I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works.
Well, I used to work at a bank before this job, and I'll tell you what. We used to cash checks for people, and they would have their alien cards, and you'd have to write down the number, and it'd be like, ABCD, 12345. Get to the next guy, ABCD, 12345. So I don't really think those were legitimate green cards.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking they bought those down on the Avenue for $25.
Do we and I don't know this. It's been 30 years since I've started a new job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right? Back when I started at KFKF in 1995, you had to fill out an I-9. And you had to have, you know, your driver's license and Social Security card.
Yeah.
It could be something from this list, something from that list.
Right, yeah.
To prove that you were a citizen of the country. Yeah. Do they still have the I-9?
Well, if you're working legally, I would assume so.
I mean, if you're a legal company in Missouri or Kansas, I think that's a requirement.
I think so, too. But if you produce a document, do you the employers check to make sure it's actual a real document? Because, you know, you can have a fake document.
Well, I know I was born in Indiana.
I was born in Missouri, so we're good.
We are good.
We're good.
And I don't know exactly where Bob Watson was born. Maybe he was born in Missouri, too. But he's been helping folks with their insurance needs for a very long time. In fact, he's got a big anniversary coming up. 50 years.
That's insane.
As a State Farm agent. He's been my guy for 29 years.
Yeah.
Boy, and any gray hair he's got, my kids are probably responsible for it.
They did half of that.
Maybe me too for a little while. I had a period where I had kind of a lead foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. May have totaled a car or two. Yeah, but I'm reformed now. I've learned that my cruise control works.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't had a speeding ticket in a very long time.
Knock on wood.
I remember when Bob called me into his office. You'll love this. And he didn't really know who I was at that point. And I'd gotten like a letter from the state of Missouri that said, if you get one more speeding ticket.
Really?
We're taking your driver's license. You're going to have to walk.
Oh, my gosh.
And Watson calls me into his office, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I can't really. I could, because it's a podcast. I could use all the language, but maybe you don't think Bob has salty language. Bob has salty language when he needs to. So he tells me, you know, they don't care about you totaling that car, but all these tickets are adding up, boy. And you better watch it, because you're going to be walking, and I'm going to pull your insurance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was definitely going to the woodshed at Bob Watson's office. And I got the message. Great guy, though. I say that. He's a fantastic guy. He agrees with what we do here. And he is celebrating his 50th anniversary in the business on May 1st. 11 to 2 on May 1st. He's going to have a food truck out front. Go see him at his office at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. I don't know if Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes are going to be there, or Travis Kelce.
Probably not.
They're State Farm guys.
Yeah.
You know? And Andy Reid likes a good food truck.
Ooh, he loves a good food truck.
Maybe some nuggies, right?
He likes some nuggies.
Yeah, I like the nuggies too. Maybe there'll be nuggies. I don't know. But if there's going to be a food truck, go tell Bob you enjoy hearing about his stories, especially with my kids and me, and how he's covered us at State Farm. He'll cover you as well. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Auto, home, life, 816-229-7878. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, so don't think of him as a Blue Springs guy. He is a Midwest guy.
Love it.
And he can take care of you. I don't know how he feels about the big fire they had in Lahaina on Maui. You heard about that.
Devastating.
It was terribly devastating. Yeah. And play number three. Do you know my five-play playbook?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for those of you who've been with the podcast for a while, this is old news.
Yeah.
But for Tracy, I'm going to give you the five plays. Anything that you throw at a Democrat will be returned to you with one of five statements and or plays.
Okay.
It's the Democrat playbook. Okay. The first one, and they use it the most, is it's racist.
Of course. Yeah.
All right. It's racist. Play number two, somebody has something you don't have, and that's not fair. Yeah. Yeah. Play number three, global warming and or climate change.
Of course.
Play number four, Trump and or the MAGA folks. Yeah. It's their fault. All right. And play number five, they're using this a lot with Joe Biden lately. Nothing to see here. No cannibals.
Don't look behind the curtain.
And no cannibals. Yeah. All right. So this is going to be play number three, global warming, climate change, because when the fire happened, it's like, well, if you don't believe in climate change now, I don't know what more to tell you, because, you know, Lahaina on Maui just burned to the ground. Okay. We now know the cause of the fire. Okay. The report points out that several communication failures and identifies the starting point of the fire. The executive summary put together by the Fire Safety Research Institute says the fire started at 6:35 a.m. on August 8th, traces the origin of the so-called morning fire to fallen electrical wires. That fire was declared extinguished, but was reignited by strong winds just before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Findings expected to be used as evidence in many of the lawsuits filed in connection with the fire. So downed power lines, which happen all the time, and wind, which they get in Hawaii.
Well, and I think that there was a communication error there, too, because from what I read, that they thought that those lines were dead and there wasn't a problem. And so nobody went out to check it. And then the whole...
Well, when we go to 100% wind and solar, we won't have transmission lines for power anymore, and that'll solve the problem. So maybe I'm coming around. Maybe it is play number three. Maybe it was caused by global warming and or climate change.
Yeah.
Noodle on that.
I think you'd still have to have the lines, right?
Come on. We can
Are we all
going to
have a
want.
Solar spinner on the top of our houses?
Exactly. One on top of your head, too, with a hat. Yeah. We'll take care of everything. I mean, it's going to be great. We're going to be run by rainbow farts. That'll be the number one fuel in
some
the country.
Some glitter. Got to have some glitter, too.
So until next time, when Kurt will be back, and we'll be back with the video and all the fun little drops that we do and all that. Tracy, thank you so much for sitting
here. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Until next time, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.